Moncrief on News Talk.
And you are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. 087 1400 106 is our WhatsApp number, and our email address is afternoon@newstalk.com. Later on the show, we'll be So You Think You're an Adult. One of the questions they'll be dealing with is a husband sent this in to us. Now, he says he always liked his wife's curves, but she's after going on the Ozempic, and everyone says she's looking great, but he doesn't fancy her as much anymore. Also, we'll be talking about, can you be buried in your back garden after death, obviously. First, decades ago, long before the era of streaming, a man had the crazy idea of establishing a 24-hour news channel. The man said the station would stay on the air every day, and the last story it would report would be the end of the world. The station was CNN, which is still with us. The man who founded it, Ted Turner, died yesterday. Larry Donnelly from the University of Galway joins us now to tell us a bit more about him. Afternoon, Larry.
Afternoon, Sean.
He was, I mean, he was, I suppose, long before the days of Donald Trump, he was kind of, he was an entrepreneur, but also a celebrity at the same time.
Yeah, he was a bit of everything. I mean, he, you know, a hugely consequential person across a range of different fields, I think is how you would best describe him. Like Donald Trump, I mean, he was born into tremendous privilege. His father was a very, very wealthy guy in the billboard business, and that's where he started off. But then he very quickly moved into entertainment, so to speak, and bought up TV and radio stations, pulled off a number of different things that people said couldn't be done, yet he went ahead and did them. And I suppose the logical progression of that was to start CNN with this very bold vision. I think they played the national anthem at the beginning, and they said that would be the only time they ever played it. And as you say, it would be the end of the world, would be the end. I think that sort of brashness is what characterized him, I suppose, links him in many ways to Donald Trump. But if you think of the world before CNN, you know, you're talking a couple of hourly news bulletins on TV or radio, a daily newspaper. CNN changed the landscape utterly.
Yeah. For the better, do you think, or just changed it?
Well, that's a fascinating question. And I think this question is going to go on for a long time. And even if we leave social media to one side, which obviously have taken things to an entirely different place, if you look at, you know, having to do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, of course, it's amazing that we can see everything happen. I mean, nothing's a mystery. We can see all this stuff happen. But at the same time, the questions do persist around quantity versus quality of the output. And indeed, CNN was just the first to the market. We know now in the United States and around the world, there are many stations, news stations of this variety, in which one could argue that some of the content isn't great. Some of it festers on negativity and falsehood, and others of it are outright ideological in the way that they convey news and current affairs.
Yeah, well, indeed, on one of the screens in the studio here, the Sky News is on, which constantly has a strap at the bottom saying breaking news. And it's probably something that happened yesterday. But they seem to keep that urgency. In fairness, though, to CNN, it seems to have made its name, particularly when they opted to leave reporters in Baghdad when US forces were bombing it. And pretty much everyone else had gone out, and in a way kind of proved that this kind of news did have a place.
Absolutely. I think that that is when Ted Turner and his vision, I think he grasped, you know, when the Iraq war was happening, that's when he really leapt into action. And we saw, the world saw, you know, perhaps in such great detail and for the first time, contemporaneous coverage of all that was going on there. So, yes, I mean, at those moments, you know, CNN brought that into people's living rooms around the world. I suppose the question persists. You know, one would think if we knew the horrors of war, maybe it wouldn't happen again. Yet we know that certainly wasn't the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting question, right? Because you'd think that would be the intention. And the logic was, or the kind of received wisdom, is that the ending of the Vietnam War was due to the coverage of it, or that was a large factor in it. But perhaps it had the opposite effect. Perhaps it kind of made it entertainment. And, you know, a lot of social media leans into that idea now.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be one of the critiques. And that's why I think Ted Turner's legacy is going to be discussed and to a certain extent debated for a long time to come, because there is so much to unpack there. I mean, this guy had a vision. It's a remarkable vision, this idea that we could find out what was going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We didn't have to wait as we might have had to in the past. But in some respects, you could say he let the genie out of the bottle. And a lot of what came out of it is unfortunate, and a lot of it is sometimes poisoned the media ecosystem. So there's many, many layers there to pick apart. So that's why, you know, I'll say again what I started with, is that's why Ted Turner is so consequential.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously CNN was the first, but it had many imitators, among them Fox News. He and Rupert Murdoch, would it be fair to say they had a feud going on for a while?
Yeah, and I mean, this is, you know, Ted Turner, you know, whatever about the business accomplishments and the vision, he was also sort of a scrapper and was known for saying things that one wouldn't say typically in polite company. This evidently emerged out of their rivalry. Basically, was Turner had this product. Rupert Murdoch obviously was to Ted Turner's political right, considerably there to his right, although it should be noted that Ted Turner did start off as a Republican who moved left, so I suppose the opposite to Donald Trump. But Murdoch and Turner did not get along, so much so that Turner on a number of occasions challenged him to a fist fight, evidently. but Murdoch, what happened in the end, and he basically said that, you know, he was going to squash him like a bug and all that. Whatever about the interpersonal rivalry there, and again, this is one of perhaps the unintended consequences of CNN, Murdoch did unleash this product known as Fox News. And if you look at the numbers, if you look at the ratings, and unfortunately that's what it's all about in the United States, there's no question who won that battle. That battle was won by Rupert Murdoch. And I should say one of the good things is they evidently did patch things up in later days. And I see Murdoch has released a statement about his death.
Ah, right. Nowadays, CNN, is it what kind of condition is it in?
Yeah, it's a very good question. In the United States, I mean, if you look at some of the viewing numbers for some of those programs, Sean, to be frank, they're not a million miles away from the RT main evening news. I mean, they're very, very low in terms of viewership. Now, the retort to that would be, obviously, it is a global station now. Obviously, a lot of the content that goes out is ultimately consumed on social media, so that its reach is still very big. But we do know, you know, for instance, there have been layoffs, you know, a lot of people in CNN worried about the future of that entity. So I suppose, like with the rest of the media landscape, change is afoot and change is rapid. And again, you know, you'd like to hear what Ted Turner, I know he was sick in his latter years. You'd love to know exactly his thoughts on all of this as it's unfolded.
Yeah. Now, you did say, I mean, he started off as a Republican and he moved leftward in his politics. Maybe in those days that wasn't such of a huge journey to travel compared to today. But he did seem to be a pretty confirmed environmentalist.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, that was the climate change. I saw a fascinating interview. I'd recommend it to listeners when his sickness was clear. But he did an interview in 2015 with Christiane Amanpour. And in that interview, he really was talking a lot about climate change. And climate change became one of the causes of his life. And he really devoted, he put his money where his mouth was, as he did with lots of different things. So he was very ardently an environmentalist. I think perhaps some of his views on that topic were shaped by his third wife, Jane Fonda. But certainly that was a cause that he embraced. And it also probably was rooted in the fact that he was an extraordinary yachtsman, someone who loved being on the sea, and I think had a deep appreciation for nature in all its forms.
Yeah, and he did, I mean, did he win the Fastnet race, or certainly took part in it?
He did. He, in 1979, the Fastnet race, I don't know if listeners are familiar, but it starts evidently at the Isle of Wight and goes down to Cherbourg, and it's known for having absolutely ferocious winds. And back in 1979, very, very dangerous conditions, without all too much regard for safety. And evidently something of an absolute monster of a storm came in 1979, and 15 people were killed in the process, yet his boat won the race. And again, to get an idea of the man, the clip from the interview with Christiane Amanpour, in which he's asked about that, in the very matter-of-fact way he discusses what happened, yet was undaunted and absolutely determined to finish and win, I think demonstrates, I suppose, that competitiveness, that ambition that it was at the heart of the man. But he always said, above everything else that he accomplished in life. His proudest accomplishments were winning that and winning the America's Cup race 2 years earlier.
Huh. Now, you mentioned he was married three times. Maybe not the easiest man to live with. I suppose a lot of driven individuals like him mightn't be.
Yeah, again, perhaps, you know, something, another commonality, without wishing to disparage, another commonality with Donald Trump there. But yeah, he was married three times. And one of the things I thought was interesting was that, yes, I'd say all of the women he was married to, including Jane Fonda, would say he wasn't an easy guy to be married to, because you can imagine somebody with that sort of ambition and that sort of boundless vision that he was probably never off. And it didn't make it too easy to be a partner to. But at the same time, they all remained very close to him throughout his life. It wasn't as if there was an acrimonious falling out. And indeed, Jane Fonda, I think, has said, you know, in the past 24 hours that, you know, she loved him like she never loved anyone and all these sort of things. So, you know, a complicated guy, I'd say, in many words. There's also been many good things, some negativity, but all in all, somebody who made a huge impact.
Yeah, absolutely. Larry, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was a law lecturer in the University of Galway, Larry Donnelly there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.